You know, we all need help at various points in our life, personally and professionally. You are not an island. No matter what you think, you cannot do it alone. Sometimes we need help. That's where my next guest can come in and help you. Her name is Karen Love Lee. She's a professional consciousness empowerment expert, mentor, and advisor. She helps get rid of those unconscious, self-sabotaging beliefs that we all experience. Her expertise is getting to the root cause of what blocks or stops you from achieving your greatest passion, goals, and desires. You do not want to miss this next episode with Karen Love Lee, next on the Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Patrick here, host and creator of the Criminal Justice Evolution podcast, one of the top-ranked shows out there because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much for sharing it with your family and friends. If you love the content, please give us that 5-star rating review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to the show. We sure would appreciate it. Big shout out to all the brave men and women working in the criminal justice field. Whatever you were doing, wherever you were at, thank you for doing it. Remember, in these uncertain times, you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
800-296-1337. 800-296-1337. 800-296-1337. 800-296-1337. 1337.
This is a national healthcare alert from the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one has diabetes, listen closely. Now, regardless of your age, if you have insurance, you may qualify to receive diabetic testing supplies with little to no out-of-pocket cost. Get free delivery, free information, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers for free. Call the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline now for details. Toll free at this number. But wait, there's more. If you call right now, you could get a meter upgrade. In addition, we'll give you a free pair of diabetic socks as our special gift to you. Regardless of your age, if you suffer with diabetes and have insurance, you may qualify to get free delivery of your supplies.
800-443-1549. 800-443-1549. 800-443-1549. That's 800-443-1549.
Folks, if you love coffee, and I know the majority of you do, you're in criminal justice, you're going to love the products from Four Sigmatic. Everything from coffees to elixirs to cocos, they have it all, and you're probably going to love it all. You can check out their link, Four Sigmatic, at cjevolution.com, and best of all, you're going to get 15% off of your purchases using the promo code CJEVO. On to the show with the one and only Karen Love Lee. Hello, everybody. I am very excited and thrilled to have my next guest on the show. You're going to love her. She's a consciousness coach, a comedian, and a transformational speaker. And her name is Karen Love Lee. Karen, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Patrick. I am so beyond honored to be here.
Appreciate it. I appreciate you being here. And I know you're probably busy, but thank you for taking the time to come on the show. And like I was saying off the air, you know, I know you don't have a criminal justice background or anything like that, but you have a great interest in criminal justice. Mm-hmm. But your story is amazing. And it all started in 2008. Can we jump right into it and take us to that day of 2008?
Okay, well, a little backstory from that. You know, by the time 2008 rolled around, it was because in 2006, my sister killed herself. I call it slow suicide. drugs, alcohol, eating disorders to mask the pain of incest and sexual abuse. And from the moment I got the call, which I knew was coming for years, trying desperately to help her. And in therapy myself, you know, for 5 years, and I walked into the therapist's office and I said, my sister's dying and I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And 5 years I laid on her couch and I never got the answers. And so it was great. I felt better. You know, she taught me a lot of stuff. And then 2006, March, get the call. And from that there, that was the gun that went off. Boom. Mm-hmm. And then I immediately said, that's it. And slowly I just gave up on everything, trying desperately to mask the pain with whatever achievements I could muster up. And by 2008, I just couldn't do it anymore. I almost lost everything, all my real estate holdings, my assets. I was in real estate at the time. I have my real estate license in the state of California, but I was an investor, international domestic investing, mm-hmm. Commercial sales and leasing. And I gave up everything. I couldn't do it. I completely lost it. And I didn't know what else to do. So by 2008, December, I said, that's it. Now, Patrick, I have been in and out of this want to kill myself thing since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And it was because I could never understand why I was here, knowing that I was going to die one day. Wow. And I needed a purpose and I needed answers. And so then I remember I was at a charity event. I had planned for the US Marines Toys for Tots. Always wanting to support the military, the Navy SEALs, law enforcement in my own way, because of what you all do and stand for. And there I was doing my charity event. And I said, after this charity event, that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here.
Wow.
But nobody knew. And
you masked it pretty well.
Oh, you know, I am a master masker.
Well, a lot of people are. They don't, yes. People don't realize the struggles that a lot of people face.
Well, I call it my first drug of choice, perfectionist and overachiever. Mm-hmm. And that started at 6 years old. So I was masking it with one achievement after another. Whatever I wanted to accomplish, I thought on the other side of that accomplishment was a meaningful life, happiness, joy, something better before I was dead. You know, my greatest fear was dying without ever having this sense of profound fulfillment and meaningfulness and questioning my existence. Like, why am I here? In a way, I had a death wish.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And I know that you're a self-proclaimed recovering perfectionist and overachiever.
Yes, I am. I am. And I'm still in recovery.
I think I am too.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. I bet you are, you know, because it's just a weird thing. But so here I'm at the charity event and nobody knew anything. I had planned it on a zero budget because I'd given up. I wasn't working. I didn't want to do real estate. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had no money coming in. And I still said, I need to do this last event. I guess I needed to take that with me. But at the end of the evening, a friend of mine, he had no idea. But he stopped me and he said, hey, can I talk to you for a moment? And I said, sure. And he goes, look what you've done here on a zero budget. Imagine if you had done this coming from your full potential. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he said, I may not want to contribute to the world like you want to contribute to the world, but I want to contribute to you. And I want to pay for you to go into this transformational coaching program. And I was like blown away only because he said, not that I want to help you and put you in a coaching program, only because he said, I may not want to contribute to the world like you want to. And there it is right there is that spark of hope he resurrected. That's the thing. Cause I wondered what made me choose not to pull the trigger. And I went back and thought it was exactly he saw in me what I had forgotten I had. And it was that little tiny spark of hope. And I said, okay, I graciously accept. And then that's what stopped me. Wow. But otherwise, I mean, I would have killed myself that time. And I knew it was for real because I had horses. I still have horses, but you have to, once you know how you're going to kill yourself, that's when it gets serious. And I didn't care about my horses. That's how bad I was, because there had been other times when it got tough and I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm like, oh wait, no, I can't give up my little horse and my other horse and my black stallion. I'm, you know, who's going to take care of him? I got to stick around. No, this time I didn't care.
Wow.
And so that's what saved me. But again, this has been, I had a whole series of, you know, fatalistic tendencies. I had fearlessness. I should have either gotten killed, been killed, chopped up in baggies, and I'm not kidding, or killed myself. Like, it's a miracle I am alive today. But here's the thing. I, on paper, looked fine. That's what's so frightening.
Yeah. And there's many people out there like that, Karen.
Yes. Yes. And I do a lot of research. There are times when people, you know, they have a loved one that has died by suicide and they'll tell you, I had no idea. They never saw one sign. They never had any clues, nothing. And that's what's so devastating.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe in divine intervention? Because
I do.
Okay. Yeah. Because it's, and I do too. That's the reason why I asked it, because it seems like that individual in your life, I know some people will be like, oh yeah, shut up. But I really do believe that, you know, the older I get, I really do think things happen for a reason.
Absolutely.
So I believe, and it's, when you said that, and I was thinking, shit, you know, where's this coming from? It's gotta be divine intervention that this person was put in your life at that specific moment in time.
Yep.
To help save your life.
Yeah. And you know, no one else said anything. And he did tell me, you know, cause we've talked about it, of course, and I've thanked him profusely, obviously, but he saw the spark in my eye gone, and I have a lot of sparkle, you know, like I'm like, you know, when things are good. And he, I mean, and I did look dead. I tried to find some of those pictures, but my computer died. I remember how dead I looked. You know, I was dead in the eyes. You know that look? I know you do.
Yeah.
That was me, but still breathing, walking around, running the charity event, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what, I guess he, I don't know how he knew, but it was definitely divine intervention. Unbelievable. But so many divine interventions have happened for me.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think there, and again, maybe I mean, just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of divine interventions for people out there, but they have to be open to the thought of divine intervention. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And they have to open their hearts to it. They have to open their minds to it, because I think miracles happen every day. Now, call me hokey pokey. I don't give a shit. It's happened for me.
Yeah.
But I think you got to be open to it. It's like that law of attraction stuff, right?
Yes.
I really believe in law of attraction. What you put out there, you're going to get back.
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe that in all the chaos that's going on in the world right now, if you think that good still exists, and if you think miracles happen, then they're going to happen.
Yeah. And they do.
Right?
They do. Yeah. It's like, I don't even know how to say it. I mean, car accidents, I mean, driving and slamming on my brakes, you know, riding horses like I do, and just, you know, drinking and riding and, all the things that I've done. Oh, the way I ran around town living in Hollywood and California, you know, I don't even know.
And the thing
it's almost frightening to think about. I do a lot of research too in criminal backgrounds.
Yeah.
Mindset, criminal minds. Yeah.
And the thing about suicide, you know, and again, this is just my opinion, Karen, is for many years, I always thought, you know, how selfish are people if they want to kill themselves? And I thought about that for a long time, but over the last several years, my mindset started to shift, because I've talked to a lot of people that have had, you know, try to carry out suicide. And I remember I had one guest on the show about a year or two ago, and he said, people don't know what people are going through that have suicidal ideations and they want to kill themselves. And you know, you just have no idea until you're in those shoes. And
right.
I know it's easy for people to say it's selfish, but you, again, have no idea Mm-mm. what it's life to like to think that your life is shitty and you know, you suck and nobody, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I know you know what I mean. But I've really changed my tune over the last several years. And I think people that are going through suicide, you know, I mean, geez, I can't imagine. But I'm so glad you're here.
Oh my God, thank you. That means a lot to me. I mean, yeah, thank you.
Now, what was the transformation between, you know, how did you get into stand-up comedy? And I mean, that must have, I'm assuming it was therapeutic, you know, it was for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I was recovering and as I was understanding how my mind was playing tricks on me and why, see, here's the thing, what was missing? What didn't I know? What couldn't I see was what healed my depression, my low grade chronic depression. Untreated depression is the number one cause of suicide. So when I realized, oh my gosh, I know why I wanted to kill myself is because I couldn't see why it was so important for me to live, why I was here, but better yet, how the brain and mind are connected. Mm-hmm. And unless we know how to use the brain and mind for good, it will play these massive, devious, insidious tricks on us and cause this disconnect. And that's what actually fuels the depression. And the depression is really knowing there's more out there, but not knowing how to bridge the gap from where we stand in this moment to where we see ourselves in our life. There's a huge Grand Canyon gap, and not knowing how to get from here to there and fill in the missing pieces is what I believe causes this depression. Mm-hmm. And this, like, there's no hope. It's a sense of hopelessness and helplessness. And when I healed this, it gave me the will to live and then create a bucket list. So that's how I got to stand-up comedy. It was on my bucket list. And now, I said, oh.
Now, what and do you talk about in your comedy?
Well, you know, I'm a really bad joke writer. I did take a class to learn how to write jokes. And I talk about what I wanted to talk about was my process of evolving consciousness mm-hmm. and the poor me to the me who I am today, you know, where I feel comfortable in my own skin to be who I am. So the material was evolving into taking the parts of me that I didn't like and making light of it, making fun of it, and kind of, believe it or not, wanting to empower the audience at the club. You know, it's a 2-drink minimum and, you know, we got to yeah. bring our guests, like they're bringer shows, but I wanted to do a lot of what I do now, but in a comedy style. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it mm-hmm. does.
That's my material, except I just did it. I kind of got discovered because I took a class and at the end of the class, you do a show and everyone invites their friends and blah, blah, blah. But there was a scout in the audience.
Oh, wow.
I had no idea. Yeah.
Big time Karen.
Yeah. And I got scouted to the Comedy Store, to the main room, which is huge. And then I did the original room like once a month. But what I found was I wanted to talk to an audience that was more into evolving their consciousness and growing and becoming wiser. And so I stopped that. And I'm actually just now working on, you know, through the podcasting and my own show and everything to bring whatever comedy and consciousness I can through different ways to the audience who's looking for it. Does yeah. that make sense?
No, it makes sense. And what I love yeah. about it is that you are, it's very difficult, you know, mm-hmm. to air your past or whatever you've gone through mm-hmm. to get where you're at right now. Mm-hmm. Most people couldn't do that, Karen. I mean, I've talked publicly about my struggles, my PTSD, all this other stuff, but mm-hmm. the more I do it, the more I feel good.
Yes.
And I imagine you feel the same. It's
yes.
Therapeutic. You know, it might be tough at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It was tough for me, but the more I talk about it, the more better I feel, the greater I feel, the more happier I am, because I don't have that baggage anymore. I still have a little bit of it, mm-hmm. but I don't have it to go back to what you were saying from the beginning. I mean, you have to talk to people. You have to release it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you have to get that off your shoulder. And so comedy, I mean, geez, but I couldn't get up in front of people. I couldn't.
Okay. I'll tell you something.
I teach and do stuff like that. I guess that's different, but comedy, brutal.
Okay. It's the scariest freaking 5 minutes of your life. Okay. And I mean, I almost quit. It was so scary.
Yeah.
I mean, no joke. I mean, just for the little show that we're doing for all of our friends, you know, everyone in the class just invited all their friends and family. Right. So we all know we're in a class. We all know we're just beginners. And I almost said, no, I can't do it. I was so petrified, so scared. But I will tell you something, because I did all this inner work and I worked on myself and my inner confidence and my self-love and believing in myself, that's actually the key to why he picked me out of all the other students in the show. Mm-hmm. I think I was the only one. It wasn't because my jokes were so great, and it wasn't because, oh, how I looked. It was because of the ability to be comfortable in my own skin and kind of be just me.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
No.
And that's a lot of the reason why I wanted to die and kill myself, is I wasn't comfortable in my own skin. I didn't like who I was. I hated myself, actually. I come from massive, invisible self-hatred, and everything about me I could not stand, and I had no idea, you know, so this caused a lot of obviously trauma. And to transform self-hate into unconditional self-love, I believe, is a key to everything.
Yeah. How important is it? And I talk about this a lot, but how important are the people around you? For your success and, you know, I mean, how important do you think that is?
Oh, you mean, yes.
Oh, yeah. Who are you hanging out with?
Hanging around like-minded, like-energy people. That is, I would want to say, second to everything. My friend didn't speak up, he was the only one to say something, to speak up. So that's what you're talking about, right? The people we're hanging around, the people we're working with, the people we're interacting with, we're in relationships with, friendships, romantically, all the people around me. That was another thing, is I wanted to be in a community of like-minded, like energy, like-souled, like-hearted humans.
Yeah.
And
that's
almost a deal breaker. If we're
And I can, I imagine.
Absolutely.
And I know we just met, but you radiate energy. I mean, I can feel the energy. So I doubt very much that you let negative people in your life, especially after what you've been through. I'm the same way.
I don't.
I'm tolerant, but I'm like, I don't want you in my life if you're going to bring that negative shit and that toxicity. I'm not saying that I live in,
absolutely.
Flary world and, sunshine and lollipops all the time. I have bad days. But I surround myself with people who are lifting me up, not bringing me down.
Yeah, exactly. But the one thing I used to just cut you out, done. See ya. Especially, my God, boyfriends. Okay. We're done. Gotta go. Okay. It's over now because of understanding who I am. And if you're human with a human brain, it levels the playing field. That's what's so amazing. And I give people a shot. I hold them accountable and I say something. Patrick, I actually speak up and say, listen, your energy is low and you have a lot of negativity. Mm-hmm. I call them out.
Important.
Well, that's what people pay me for.
Well, exactly. I want to talk about your coaching, but a lot of people can't handle that shit. You know, there's a lot of snowflakes out there when you tell them the truth. Now there's a way that you address it. No, there's a way you come across. I mean, you don't want to crush. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes, I guess, I don't know. You have to be curt with people. But I like how you call people out, because that's important that you call people out. I've done that before with family members. Yeah. I'm like, look, I love you. I just don't want to hang out with you. You know, there's a big difference.
Bingo.
I'll take you in verbatim. Small doses. But I love you. I wish the best for you. No, I'm serious. But your toxicity, your negative.
I know. I'm right with you. I cannot believe you say verbatim exactly what I've said.
Well, you know those people, Karen. They call you up.
I was like, oh my God, I've said that.
They call you up and they're like, it's all about them and the, you know, the shit life that they have, quote. You know, and I'm like, look, I love you. I want the best for you, but you know, I don't want to hang out with you all the time. So it's
I gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta go. I gotta exit stage left.
That's brilliant. Yeah. And I want to tell you something that actually has more power, transformative power than anything. Is
exactly.
It wakes people up. It takes them out of their habitual patterns that they don't even know they're in.
Now let's talk about your coaching, because you're coaching all kinds of people out there. Unless, for the listener out there.
Yes.
You know, and first of all, let me back up. You're a huge first responder, you know, advocate. You love the military. There's a lot of people out there that could use your coaching services, but what, you know, what are your effective coaching principles? Can you hit on some of those?
Yeah. Number one, everything that we invisibly stop ourselves from, let me say it this way, that our childhood matters, that our past must be confronted and healed.
Yeah.
And it's all about childhood. So basically I coach, if you're human with a human brain, then I will coach you, right? If you have a different brain, then I'd have to say, no, we're not a match. And this is what saved my life too, is understanding the default mechanism of the human brain, the fear mechanism, and understanding how the human brain is so powerful beyond measure. But most of us don't ever read the manual. We don't even know how powerful the human brain is, our brain, but it's the thing that would tricks us the most. So sorry, I got all like,
No, so absolutely, I agree with you.
The whole brain aspect. Yeah. So understanding that we actually create these made up perceptions early on in childhood. And I only am concerned with 0 to 19 years old. That's all that matters. It's all said and done closer to age 5. And everything from 6 to 19 is a repeat. And then we just add a few more ingredients, like our relationship to money and a relationship, sexuality, relationships with significant other, all has a play, but we absolutely create our fundamental perceptions about ourselves and our world, everyone and everything around us, closer to age 2, 3, and 4. So my principles are heal the invisible, unconscious childhood wounds, and then the world is your oyster.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I realized for myself. This is all based on me being my own worst case study.
And I love what you said about
that's
making things into like the things we create in our mind, Karen. I mean, I've learned throughout the years, the older I get, is most of the shit that I freak out about or worry about never either one, never comes to fruition, never comes true. And if it does come true, the big, huge monster that I painted in my mind of this quote problem, it's not as big as I imagined it. You know, does that make sense? So it's it's just crazy how the mind, you know, tricks us a lot of times, and they takes that fear that we have and just blows it up to something that I'm not saying we don't have, you know, people don't have problems. They don't have things that obviously they worry about, but in my experience, just in my experience, the shit I worried about most of the time never came true. And if it did, it wasn't as big as I envisioned it. So
that's exactly right. Because the subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between what is real and what is imagined. And I got that from Bob Proctor, but it's absolutely true. Bob Proctor. And when I understood this more research, I studied it with neuroscientists and I just applied it to myself. Who cares about anybody else? I was fighting for my life.
Exactly.
You know, and I've been in and out of therapy my whole life. And I got to talk about all my stuff, but again, I didn't have the answers, and the answers lied in basic brain science and languaging and understanding how we perceive things and the human brain cannot automatically distinguish what is real versus what is subjective, or our opinions, or how we think it is. It's very speculative. And when I really put this all together, and I thought, oh my God, that's the key to the whole thing. And I also never set out to be this coach. I actually just got really great at it, started coaching my friends, and someone said, do you do personal coaching? That's how this divine intervention, it's right there again.
Yeah.
Divine orchestration. You know, I always wanted a purpose, I was wondering why I was here, and ta-da, this is a lot of it.
Well, you're such a, probably an effective coach because you've gone through a bunch of shit in your life. That's what makes you effective. Mm-hmm. And you're brutally honest about it, and you're transparent.
Yeah.
Which you've been there.
Yes.
That's what, yes. That's what makes you such an effective coach. I coach too. And what I think makes me effective is because I've been there. I know what officers go through, what Absolutely. They struggle through, because I've been through it.
Yes.
And so I think that makes, yes. I think there's a lot of talkers out there, you know, that talk mm-hmm. about it, but they don't walk the walk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So.
Right. I, even in traditional therapy, it's the therapist, the authority, and the patient or the client. Yes.
Yes.
In coaching, I agree wholeheartedly. What levels the playing field is, as a coach, I share my vulnerabilities, what my breakdowns, what I went through, and my experiences from yuck to yay, you know, and that's why it is so effective. Yeah. Absolutely, without question.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
What is-
so I just want to make sure I'm answering the question, because I'm
go ahead.
There's so much we could talk about. Yeah. Well, the coaching principle is, I hope I answer the question, is the principles are heal your unconscious childhood wounds that you don't even know are there. It opens up a whole new world. You become unrecognizable. And then we really then are not at the effect of circumstance. And then whatever we want to create in our life, we'll know what to keep objective and what is subjective. And then everything in our world seems like, hey, okay, what ifs? All right, I'm good. Yeah. Okay, another riot. Okay. Instead of getting reactive and pulling yourself into taking sides, we can actually be proactive to enlighten and do something about it that's more productive and actually brings a community together. Amazing. Are you with me? Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it makes sense. And that's, for the listeners out there, mm-hmm. you know, again, Karen's appeared on CBS News, Fox, NBC, ABC. She knows what she's talking about, people. But you answered the question.
Yeah. Well,
and you're, yeah. and here's the thing about coaching is you, people might be listening mm-hmm. and might be saying, all right, yeah, Karen. Yeah. But I don't need a coach. Look, bullshit. Everybody at some point in their life needs a coach. There's a reason why.
Absolutely.
Look at Tiger Woods. He's got a coach. Musicians have coaches. Everybody needs a coach yes. at some point in their life. They can't do it alone. Am I wrong?
No. No, you're so right that I just want to high five you. Boom, over Zoom.
Virtual high five.
Virtual high five. There it is. Is that I wouldn't even be here if it weren't for all the mentors and you know, my babysitter, my grandmother, and then my therapist. They were all great, okay, in their own right. And then all the coaches I've paid, the spiritualists, you name it. I've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into the best investment ever. And they were the coaches, the, you know, every single person. There's no way I'd be here today without all of them. And that includes friends, you know, friends coaching or giving us a rah-rah, cheerleading us, whatever that is. But absolutely, without question, it is imperative. And if we think we can do it alone, we're dead wrong.
Yeah.
And I mean can't. Dead wrong.
You can't mm-hmm. do it. Now, mm-mm. for the people out there struggling, whatever they're struggling with, first of all, there's plenty of resources out there. Karen Love Lee is one of them. What is your current message and contribution to others in light of what's happening in the world right now? We talked about this, Karen, beforehand. A lot of shit going on in the world right now.
Yeah.
So it's easy to get bummed out. It's easy to get depressed. It's easy to say the world's going to shit and, you know, to crawl up in your little ball. What advice would you give people?
Okay. Well, number one, the greatest lesson I've ever learned in my own trauma and tragedies is that without them, there's no way we can be triumphant. So everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. And because of that, the COVID thing is for a reason, the political climate, what's happening in law enforcement, it is to wake us up and not so much fight it. When we fight, that is just the default fear mechanism going to fight. No, consciousness is the only thing that can say, wait a minute, we don't have to necessarily fight. We can free ourselves because of the circumstances, meaning that look at it, number one, as an opportunity, as a wake-up call, as something that is shaking us up. Only through crisis are we most motivated to mm-hmm. change. And not just change, because I believe change is lateral, to transform. Transform means create a brand new situation. Brand new, meaning that we haven't ever seen it before. We keep hearing, oh, we are in unprecedented times. Yes, we are. New times. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? If that can be created because of consciousness, we can create brand newly by understanding the power of the mind and the brain. And the message is, look, you can either be a victim and hide and shrink and flee. So we got the fear mechanism causes us to fight or flee. Mm-hmm. To retreat is fleeing. And in these times, when we choose to say, wait a minute, hold on, hold up here. This is waking me up and I'm not happy about it, that I'm pissed off. But wait, is that in my best interest for me to get mad, to be reactive, or to understand yourself, the root cause of the reaction, to transform that to proactivity, to take action that benefits not only you, but benefits everyone and everything around you. And so in this climate, I am more excited than ever because I have trained myself to endure and persevere through crisis, through hardship, through challenge, through pain. And then I know now through experience that every time I choose to go, okay, wait a minute, let's take a look here. I've come out the other side better, stronger, faster, brighter, more enlightened, less judgmental, less critical, more compassionate than I had ever freaking ever imagined, and taken more action to have more humans benefit from these times.
Yeah.
And I, don't even get me started, because right now I train, you know, I train predominantly men, by the way, and I train millennial men for success, for wealth, for happiness, for passion. And so we are in a time that if you choose the way I'm saying to choose, you'll have access to more opportunities, more wealth, more happiness, more health than you ever, ever have in your entire life. And that's the message.
I love it. And I love what you say. Mm-hmm. If there's an indomitable will, there's a way. If there's hope,
yep,
there's magic.
Yes.
I love it. So,
oh,
good.
Yes.
Karen Lovely.
Oh, are you reading my thing?
Yes, I love it. I have it in front of me.
Yeah. Oh my God. I was like, wait, those are my words.
Yes, they are your words. And I was saying the words. And I said, those are your words from Karen Lovely. I love it. So Karen, if people want to reach out to you, how can they reach out to you? I know you have a podcast. Talk about that for a minute. And then other ways they can contact you.
Okay. The Power of Self-Evolution is my podcast, and it's syndicated out onto all the major outlets. And then KarenLovely.com. and then email me directly. And I will personally see your email at Karen Love, L-O-V-E-L-E-E, at gmail.com. So it's Karen Love, as opposed to lovely. It's the word love.
I love that.
Last name, L-E-E, yeah, at Gmail.
You are an amazing individual. You know that. You're awesome. I love what you're giving back to the world. And for all those people out there, again, that are struggling, that need somebody, turn to Karen. Reach out to her. She can help you. Karen, lovely. I would love, no pun intended, to have you back on the show in the near future, because I think we can talk about so much more. I think we're just scratching the surface here. In fact, I know we are.
We are. We didn't even get to, I am the criminal justice system for the human brain.
Talk about that. Talk about that real quick.
Well, you know, we are our own worst enemies. And it's criminal. And that's the whole, and I'm going to say it, it's the eternal mind fuck. Mm-hmm. It's getting caught in the matrix and not being able to get out. Well, I get people out of the matrix. I stop
cycles
of insanity. Yeah. And I help and facilitate undoing the eternal mind fuck. It's really, you know, where we become, there's an internal conflict and battle. And that's only because most humans won't take the time to understand, you know, who they are and why they are the way that they are and why they are the way that they're not. Only through understanding the brain mind connection. And then, of course, I want to add the heart.
Yeah.
So it's the heart brain mind connection. And if we don't, it really is criminal, you know. And I just want to say this because it's so exciting, because it's so in alignment with your podcast, is that I become the judge and jury for you and your mind. And I will prove it with your evidence. You'll tell me things and I actually put it together as if I'm the defense attorney and the prosecuting attorney. And I show you based on facts just how criminal you've been to yourself.
Wow.
And I give you inner peace and justice. That's what I really feel.
I love that. And everything that we talked about, folks, mm-hmm. is going to be linked up in the show notes. Again, if you're struggling, reach out to Karen Lovely. Karen Lovely, much success to you in the future. I want to have you back on.
Good. I would love to be back on.
Be prepared. Be prepared for another invite, because it was a wonderful show. Very informative. Again, much success to you going forward. You have my contact information. You ever need anything, you reach out to me.
Oh, I absolutely will. I'd love to be back on your podcast, and I would love to have you on my podcast.
Of course. You just send me the deets. I'm coming.
Okay, great. So thank you so much. I'm so honored. You are amazing and such a miracle to humanity, especially
thank you so much. More than ever. Making me blush over here now.
Oh, but I'm serious. And Patrick, I can't thank you enough for everything that you're doing for the world.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.